760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond. Should I say greater Atlanta? Because you're greater if you're listening to us this morning.
We made Atlanta greater again.
Made Atlanta greater. Do you think that'll be the new slogan here?
It could be.
Yeah.
You guys are silly.
I'm not betting on it, but I think it would be awesome.
How about joy-filled again?
Make Atlanta joyful again.
There we go.
Okay, that's great. Well, awesome. Speaking of joy, like it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So why don't we open with a prayer? Who's got one for me?
I do. And you know what? I have a prayer for unwavering faith, because I think all of us in our life, we go through times where we struggle, and we need that faith mm-hmm. to just carry us through. So let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, I pray that you would help me stand firm in my faith and persevere through all of life's trials. Let us not be shaken by difficulties, but be rooted in the hope that comes from knowing you. Strengthen us to resolve and help us trust in your timing, your provision, and your eternal promises. May our lives reflect your faithfulness as we continue to persevere in your grace. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Perseverance. Are you about to say something, superstar?
I can.
Go for it.
Yay, Dave.
I was just going to say, if you have not been outside yet, it's a lot colder today than
it
was yesterday.
Freezing.
Well, yeah, that's the thing I don't get about Atlanta. I heard a comedian say this. It's the only place where you can experience four seasons in the same day.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I seriously think that was yesterday.
Yeah, morning, winter, mid, I don't know, 11 a.m., you're at fall. You know, 2 o'clock, you're at spring, and then at, like, I don't know, 3 or so, it's summer. Yeah. He said, and I know what's after that, locusts. This is biblical changes that are happening right now.
Well, you're running your heat in the morning, and then later on today, we're going to have the air on. Well, no, probably not today, because it's only going to be a high in the mid-50s.
Yeah, and I was saying that my daughter said it was going to be 70, so she was a little
Yesterday. Yesterday, we had the air on yesterday, and then the heat this morning.
Yeah, no, it was cold.
But yeah, no, it's...
And the wind yesterday, when we left the office, I was like, ooh, it's windy.
It, like, cuts right through you, too.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, in the morning, I'm dressed like an Eskimo, and, like, by afternoon, it's like I'm a marathon runner or something, right? But that's the interesting thing. That's an interesting point. I never really thought about that too much, but when I start off, and I'm, like, blasting heat in my car in the beginning of the day, and then I pop in after work or something in the afternoon, and it's like, whoa, what is... This is like a sauna right now. I mean, everything has changed. Only in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. But I like fall. And I mean, when it gets high and it goes low, I just want it to be steady fall and enjoy those leaves that are still around everywhere.
Yeah.
Including my yard.
Your round leaves to rake is what you want.
Oh my gosh. But at least the wind maybe dried off the leaves a little bit to make it easier when I do need to mow over them and suck them up this weekend.
That's going to be this Saturday for me.
Wow. So exciting.
And Josh is going to be having a good time not doing it as Dave and I are working in the yard.
Right. That's why I rent. I'm not a big boy and girl like, well, I'm definitely not a big girl, but I'm not a big girl like you, Dave. You know, we got problems with, anyway, we'll stop there. But that's the, you know, you guys, but you guys like yard work. Am I correct?
I enjoy it.
Is there something meditative about it? Is it? There is.
Absolutely.
And when you see the finished product, I mean, that's with me. When you mow the lawn and then you see it looking all tidy and pretty afterwards.
Although my neighbors might argue that I don't like it, but I don't know that my yard ever looks pretty, but you know.
Well, and I think too, a sense of accomplishment, right?
Yeah.
Many times in life, things take time for you actually to see the fruit of what you're doing. But when you're doing yard work, you can see it immediately. It's kind of instant gratification.
And I think of St. Joseph, you know, the worker.
That's a good point.
You know, you're doing something.
Josh, we are working.
Yes.
There was this scene in The Chosen, I remember. Y'all know The Chosen, right?
Yep. I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar with it.
You should watch it. I think they do a really good job.
Yeah.
But the disciples, one of the disciples is Judas, and he's complaining, like, why are we not We're doing all this manual labor. Like, why aren't we just, you know, we could be doing so much more valuable things with our time, essentially. Mm-hmm. And one of his disciples is like, this is what Jesus called us to do at the moment. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. there is something inherently holy, obviously, about the dignity of work, but working with your hands as well. I mean, until he was called to public ministry, the Messiah was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so was his father. So, yeah.
Well, since you rent, and if you feel called, you can come over to my house this weekend.
Yeah, you could either go there or you can come to mine.
To that.
Yeah.
We'll put you to work.
Wonderful. Can I do it for free?
Absolutely.
You sure can.
Oh,
absolutely.
I'm so excited.
Well, I want to put this in here. I'm so excited. St. John Bosco girls, and I think the other teams do have games as well, but I mean, since my daughter is on the varsity girls team, they've got a game today, so I am really excited.
Go Grey Wolves! Oh!
Go.
Do they howl like that?
Yes, some parents do. It's official. Grey Wolves. So yeah, so I'm pumped.
Okay, y'all are a wolf pack. That's great. And speaking of wolf packs, we've got a this show is packed full of. That was an awkward transition, but I tried.
Josh, but you know what?
Speaking of wolf packs, this show is action packed.
Packed full of wolves.
Packed full of. Man, y'all are sabotaging my transition here. Well, we've got a great show for you today. What's going on today, Allison?
Yeah, Father Rivak is going to be on with us today. He's going to be diving into the Word, and he is a priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Ackworth, Georgia. Chuck's going to be back with us talking about Venerable Honora Nagel. And also Jerry Tearsmith, he is a past faithful navigator from St. Jude the Apostle Assembly 3856. He will be here talking about Wreaths Across America, so I can't wait for that. And coming up next, we have Tim Shevlin. He is a parishioner at Our Lady of Assumption in Atlanta, and he's going to be talking about how we can go through the holidays, kind of cutting sweets and how we can actually eat through those times.
I need to hear this.
I do too. I do too. Sunny and windy today, high of 55. It is cold, 40 now at 8:07.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Tim Shevlin, personal trainer and parishioner of Our Lady of Assumption in Brookhaven, the founder of FitCatholics.com, and talking about the holiday season, how we can maximize our health around this pretty pivotal time of the year.
Welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
Question. So, holiday season is quickly approaching. Halloween is past. Do you have any alternative ways to satisfy the sweet tooth while minimizing the sugar during this time where we are all getting together and having festivities and gatherings?
Sure. First thing, you know, and this is kind of on topic, but for me, you know, working out and eating clean is important for most days. But during holidays, on special occasions, you should be able to indulge yourself. Otherwise, what are you doing this for? You know, we're doing this to better our life, to enjoy life, and food is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you enjoy those holidays and don't hold back too much. I mean, you don't want to gorge yourself, but at the same time, you want to enjoy yourself. You want to eat what you want, and that's okay a few times. The rest of the season, we want to regulate our insulin response. Mm-hmm. When our insulin response goes up and down and up and down, then our blood sugar goes up and down, and our body doesn't really know what it wants, so it craves a lot of sugar to try to stabilize things. It's not really the way things work, but that's what your body thinks it needs. So if you're eating sugar in the first place, you're going to crave more sugar as time goes on. So the first thing in general, we want to try to avoid those fast, quick digesting, high glycemic carbohydrates. Processed sugar, processed cereals and breads and different things like that, they're going to spike your insulin level. In turn, your blood sugar is going to spike, which then creates your insulin response, and then your blood sugar is going to tank, and then you're going to crave more sugar.
Mm.
So the first thing to do is try to avoid those quick digesting sugars and go to lower glycemic carbohydrates, beans and lentils, oatmeal, different things like that, and fresh fruit. Those are all going to be a lot better as far as keeping your insulin level stable. So that's kind of the first step. Now, there are times when, you know, A lot of people have sweet tooth at night, especially. They want desserts. There are many different options when you go to the store as far as what kind of foods to get for dessert. There are a lot more items currently that are not really high in sugar, but are still sweet. Things that are sweetened with monk fruit or xylitol or any of the sugar alcohols, those are all things that taste sweet, but they don't spike your insulin level, and our bodies actually can't digest it, so it doesn't increase our blood sugar, it doesn't increase our calorie intake. Xylitol, for example, or any of the sugar alcohols, they're neither sugar nor alcohol. They're actually a prebiotic fiber, which, as you probably heard more recently, is good for you. Hmm. The bacteria in our gut thrives on this prebiotic fiber. And xylitol specifically, they get from birch tree. They take it from the bark, and it's a super sweet tasting item that our body can't digest. But unlike Olestra or what was it, Olean back,
I remember,
you know,
that
2000, even though our body can't digest it, the bacteria in our gut can digest it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't cause the same kind of problems that that did back then. Mm-hmm. So going to things like that, they'll still give you that sweet taste. They're not going to give you the chemicals like a Diet Coke would, which are bad for us, and they're not going to increase your calorie intake. Kind of a better option. You know, it's a processed food. It's still not necessarily what you should be eating all the time, but, you know, dessert on occasion kind of thing. Choose something that's sweetened with xylitol or any sugar alcohol or monk fruit, and it'll be a much better choice.
So, question about that. When you are eating something that's, say, sweetened with stevia or xylitol, there's things you can sweeten with stevia or xylitol. I would say, on the whole, if you zoom back, oh, this is still quite healthy. For instance, you put stevia on oatmeal, add some powdered peanut butter, some cinnamon, all of a sudden it tastes a little bit more dessert-like, right? Or yeah, perhaps you could take a Core Power protein shake, put a half a cup of oats and some apples, pour it on top, leave it overnight, and it kind of tastes like ice cream, but you're not getting a ton of sugar,
right?
Especially if you're in like that fasted state in the morning or workout beforehand. But these sweeteners may be combined with things, okay, this is not as natural, like a protein bar sweetened with fill in the blank. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that's in there. But do you think the sweeteners just individually on top of whole foods still are quite healthy, or is this something we can have somewhat regularly in our diet, or is it kind of like, hey, you want to pump the brakes on that in general? But if it's a natural sweetener, like, let's say, stevia or monk fruit.
I think the way you described it was perfect. Things like, you know, fruit, oatmeal, and different stuff like that, and you're using a natural sweetener like stevia or monk fruit or any of those, then absolutely, I think that's something you can eat every day. It doesn't have any negative effects whatsoever. And if it gets you to eat that healthier food, I mean, it's a net win across the board.
So you're talking about the main things to just be mindful of is when you have that kind of food on top of something that is just pretty manufactured already.
Right.
Even if the macronutrients are good, you want to be mindful of the fact that your body's not used to eating this all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well said. That's really smart, especially I liked what you talked about with the balance as well. It's so easy to think, well, I guess we can't eat anything. You know what? I'm going to bring a head of lettuce to my Thanksgiving dinner, you know, some dressing, eat it raw and stare at everybody angrily in the corner. But we exercise so we can also, you know, be human beings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And to know how to moderate, but still remember what's the reason for the season to be here with family.
Right.
So, Tim, what is one of your favorite sweets during the holidays?
Fruitcake.
Ooh.
Fruitcake. Now, what is your favorite entree during the holiday season?
I really like turkey with stuffing and lots of gravy.
Do you make it yourself, or you just let the fam do it for you?
Generally, I always smoke a turkey. So if we get together with the family, it'll be, you know, my mom will make a turkey, and she does traditional, and then I'll smoke one, and, you know, we have both.
You need a smoker for that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. And how long is it out there for?
It depends on how fast, but or how big a bird, but generally 3.5-4 hours.
Marinating it as well, or just letting it be all natural?
Well, sometimes I brine them. Sometimes I don't. That really just depends on my mood. And then I always inject it with, like, I don't know, 8 sticks of butter. Yeah, so it's always very moist.
Wow, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. Wow, Tim, that sounds so yummy.
We are thankful for you, Tim Shevlin of Our Lady of Assumption in Brookhaven and the founder of FitCatholics.com. Thank you for helping us stay physically and spiritually fit.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:18. Father Rivak Parish Priest at St. Clair's in Acworth. Welcome back, Father.
Thanks. It's so good to be back with you guys.
And I hear you're unpacking today's gospel.
I am. I'm going to read it and talk about it.
You better be.
That's it.
You say unpacking. I just got back from a pilgrimage to Rome, so I was just thinking about all my luggage.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
What an adventure.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
Rome, Georgia, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing place. Took a bunch of people, got a bus, went up to Rome, Georgia. Father Paul Porter there, the great pastor, he came out onto the balcony and preached at us for a little while. No, Rome, Italy. It was a great pilgrimage. Or, I mean, Italy in general, but we ended in Rome. So, but yeah, you say unpacking. My mind just went right back there. To all the wonders that I got to see. But anyways, yeah, the gospel for today, it's Luke 19:41-44, and it's as follows. Jesus drew near Jerusalem. He saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemy will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another within you because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Mm. Very apocalyptic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Heading into Advent here, and it tends to happen.
Well, that's pretty intense language. So why does Jesus criticize the people for not recognizing the true meaning of peace? I mean, what deeper understanding are they missing? And you pointed out, Father, in choosing Barabbas over Jesus later that we will see, they really missed this significant opportunity for true salvation by selecting a revolutionary instead of the Messiah.
Yeah, so we were talking before we started here about Barabbas when we were talking about peace. So the Jews, Jesus always criticizes the Jews for evaluating things on a purely terrestrial level. You know, Christ is the Word, and he's coming to bring us up to a new understanding, a new reality. And up to this point, they just keep missing that fact that Jesus is something wholly unique, and that he's trying to transform them also into something new. He comes to make all things new. And so their understanding of peace is one of this sort of terrestrial sense, like a legislative sense of peace, a sense of independence and self-actualization. The Romans are in Jerusalem, and that's a terrible thing because Jerusalem's meant to be free. It's meant to be the place where God is worshipped and all this paganism is happening. And so there's this injustice in the polis. There's an injustice in the city and in the nation. And they can't see beyond that. They can't see that what Christ is talking about and what he's come to do is remove power from the worldly authorities and restore power to that individual sense of conscience. Like, peace happens through the establishment of justice or right order within us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen from a social structure and then imposes it on people. That never establishes peace. And that's the way they're trying to do it. But instead, peace has to happen from a right conscience in relationship with the God who is in front of them. And we'll talk in a minute about how they missed that. And then from there, the society's informed by the consciences of the citizenry that are there. We are just sort of on the other side of this hyped up election cycle that had been months and months and months long. And so many of our quote unquote faithful Catholics had been doing exactly what these Jews were doing, that Jesus was criticizing. They were saying, if only X person made it in, then we'd have peace, then we'd have justice. No. It starts with every individual conscience. It's the responsibility of every individual conscience. They just miss that. And so when Pilate says, hey, who do you want? I'm offering you. The worldly powers, just like the devil in the temptation offered Jesus, I know you're a good guy, Jesus. I know that you would govern everything well. So why don't I give it all to you? But you just have to worship me. Right. Mm-hmm. And Pilate, the sort of manifestation of the political power at the time, comes and says, who do you want? I'll give you whoever you want. You guys choose. And they're both Barabbas, son of the father, Jesus, son of the father. They're both sons of the father. They're both messiahs or Christ figures. And the people, to Jesus's point here, he says, you don't understand it. To his point here, they choose Barabbas because they think, hey, we want a political revolutionary. We want somebody who's going to establish a political order that we can call just rather than doing the hard work of establishing justice in our own conscience.
Wow. So it's really, looking for a civil authority than someone who actually has interior authority over my spiritual disposition.
Yeah, he wants us to be free, not just weighed down by somebody, some political power's domination of what they think justice is.
Amen. Father, a question. Can you explain the prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem and how it relates to the people's inability to recognize Jesus?
Yeah, well, so we mentioned that Jesus is coming to do something new. and the new thing that he's really trying to do, I think, is best understood as the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly. It's the same creature, but it's a different creature, right? It's not like the caterpillar dies. The caterpillar changes, but it's wholly changed. It's completely changed. It is no longer caterpillar, it is butterfly, but it's the same cute little guy, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus is coming to take Judaism, the caterpillar, and through his own cocoon, the tomb, rising from the dead, bringing a new fulfillment, a new idea or understanding of fulfillment of Judaism into what will become Christianity, right? So it's a wholly new thing, and the old thing was supposed to stop. The old thing was supposed to not be anymore, right? The Judaism was meant to fully metamorphosize into Christianity. And when it didn't do that through the perfidious character of the Jews, as we often see written, the stubbornness, as Jesus often complains about and Moses complains about, they were like, no, Jesus, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And this is where Jesus says, you've missed the time of your visitation. I'm here now and you're not seeing me. And when I go away, I won't even be around for you to see me anymore. And you're going to try to do the same old thing again, and it's not going to work because I've changed it. And so the destruction of the temple was necessary. It was a prophecy Jesus made that was fulfilled in 70 AD by the Romans, who came in and just utterly destroyed the temple, leaving no stone unturned.
Wow.
And it was because Jesus did not want that to happen anymore. Jesus is, I am the true lamb. I am the sacrifice. There's a new priesthood. There's a new worship. There's a new sacrifice. And it's done through my apostles and their successors. This whole temple thing with killing goats and chickens and turtle doves. I don't think they killed chickens. What was it? Goats and turtle doves and lambs. Yeah, that's not what we're doing anymore. And so he destroyed the temple. And the persistence of a form of Judaism that still presents itself today is just a testament of that stubbornness. Jesus came to make Jew and Gentile, all people, Christian followers of him, receivers of his redemption, of his visitation, of his salvation.
Wow.
So, Father, what is a good takeaway for us today so we can live out this gospel or the message?
Well, just a gratitude, I think, that through his providence that we have seen him. We 2,024 years later haven't missed our visitation, that Christ continually visits his church. He is always Emmanuel. He's always with us, and we can always find him and respond to the call that he's put on our life. And that we can have the courage that no matter what the political power or political order is at the time, no matter what the social injustice is that's occurring, I have the power to stand erect and righteous before the Lord if I judge myself, my conscience, according to his justice.
Thank you so much, Father Rivak. We look forward to seeing you again next week.
Happy to be here.
At 8:27, I'm Dave Savage, and from the Catholic News Agency, a Catholic physicist is working on missions to search for potential life on other planets. Also recognizes it as an opportunity to see the glory of God. Jonathan Lunin, a convert to the Catholic faith, and the chief scientist for NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, spoke to roughly 100 Catholic scientists at an event in D.C. on Friday. He said, I'm not a theologian, I'm a scientist, he told the crowd. As a Catholic scientist, he said he sees the gift of the mind as a gift that God has given us to understand the glory of God's creation. He said more theological questions would be raised if the search for life on other planets develops into a search for intelligent and self-aware life that developed on another planet. This would lead to questions like, are they saved or are they fallen, he said. If intelligent life exists on other planets, he said, it would be hard to imagine that none had fallen from God's grace, noting that it's easy to fall, and even the angels, some of them have fallen. He said this would create questions such as, did Christ come to their world on in a separate incarnation to save them? And how would humanity be the central pivot point of cosmic history? Now, the Catholic Church holds no official position on whether intelligent life exists on other planets, but Pope Francis commented on the subject in 2015, saying, honestly, I wouldn't know how to answer. He said, until America was discovered, we thought it didn't exist, and it existed. So, yeah. Good point. I'm not supposed to throw my personal thoughts in with the news here. This isn't real news, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's real news. It's really happening. But I believe there is, out of the billions and billions of solar systems and galaxies and planets, there's got to be somebody out there
or something.
If people are interested in unpacking this topic more, Jimmy Akin from Catholic Answers, you all know Jimmy Akin.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He has a podcast called Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, and he has it's all about just the mysterious things that have happened, conspiracy theories. It's really cool, unpacked from the lens of faith and reason, and he definitely looks at it through the lens of what the church would think. And so he's definitely addressed the extraterrestrial and UFO.
And what's the name of this again?
Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. Yeah. So if you're looking for a really cool way to geek out on just all the mysteries that this world and beyond has to offer, check it out. And he is probably one of the smartest people I've ever heard in my entire life.
From Catholic Vote, in a Wednesday op-ed published in the Wall Street Journal, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy called out Planned Parenthood by name while outlining their plan for the soon-to-be-established Department of Government Efficiency. They're going to slash wasteful uses of taxpayer dollars. Now, the two businessmen named co-commissioners of DOGE by Trump last week also named National Public Radio as a taxpayer-funded organization that could see cuts. So we'll see what happens there.
We're safe. The Morning Quest. Traffic.
The Quest.
The Quest is safe. That's what I mean. Yeah. All right. Speaking of traffic, in DeKalb County, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked from Boulder Crest Road, exit 51, off 285 northbound, Covington Highway, exit 43. In Griffin, Spalding, there's an accident. Highway 92, Henry Jackson Road. In Conyers and Rockdale, there's an accident. The left lane is blocked. I-20 westbound at West Avenue, exit 80. Josh Harris, Quest Atlanta Traffic.
Coming up next, Chuck Persner from St. Michael the Archangel is going to be talking to us about Venerable Honora Nagel.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:33.
Chuck Persner, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Allison. It's good to be back. Josh, good morning.
It's great to have you here.
All right. Yeah, so today is the memorial of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is a liturgical celebration that dates back to the 6th century in the East and the 15th century in the West. And, of course, this memorial is based on the ancient tradition, which teaches that Mary, the Blessed Mother, was taken to the temple in Jerusalem by her parents, Anne and Joachim, now saints in their own right, of course, and dedicated to God at the age of 3 years old. So that's what we're celebrating today. And now, by virtue of this act, Mary places her whole being at the service of God. That's what makes it such an important seminal moment, opening herself to the fullness and richness of God's grace, and in turn dedicating herself completely to Him. And we hear that, right? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Interesting, too, because they didn't have baptism back then. I mean, a lot of us are probably looking at this whole feast or experience through liturgical or sacramental lenses, but they didn't have any of the sacraments or the gifts or graces that we get to experience then. So maybe this is, in a way, a consecration, a baptism-like experience for her.
That's interesting.
Sounds good, Josh.
Just some thoughts. I'll go back to my cave now.
No, that's quite interesting. I'm sure our listeners found that pretty interesting as well. Yeah. But, you know, this memorial today, and of course, we'll soon be celebrating the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. I mean, it's not that far away.
Yeah.
With Advent right around the corner. That's a solemnity, of course, and a holy day of obligation. But this memorial today got me wondering if there was a religious order devoted to or named after the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And indeed, that woman who founded that organization is a venerable in our church, and that's why I thought we would talk about her today.
Yes.
This is, oh, nice.
The venerable Honora Nagel. She founded the Sisters of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Cork, Ireland, commonly known as the Presentation Sisters, which is now a worldwide Catholic institute of women religious. And she was declared venerable in our Roman Catholic Church on All Hallows Eve, in fact,
wow,
on October 31st in the year 2013 by Pope Francis. So
that's a
process
pretty...
has begun, and she's wow, in the final stage. So maybe in our lifetime we'll see it.
Yeah.
We'll
that's a pretty
it.
Auspicious sign to get your cause teed off on All Hallows Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, heading into that very precious, sacred three-day stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And we just finished it ourselves, in fact. And we had a chance to talk about all the great saints and all the opportunities to pray for souls during
yes,
that time. And, you know, as one commentary suggested, I love this line. It said, if Honora Nagel were alive today, she would be the kind of person to win a Nobel Prize.
Wow.
And, you know, before her death in 1784, Nano, as she was affectionately known due to a nickname given to her by her father at a very young age, had opened 7 schools for poor children, of course, across Cork City, founded an almshouse for poor women, and then most notably founded the previously aforementioned Presentation Order, which, of course, continues her legacy of education and social inclusion work today.
Mm-hmm.
She was born into a wealthy Catholic family in the year 1718, and her family home was in Ballygriffin near Mallow, which is on the banks of the River Blackwater, for mm-hmm, our Irish listeners. And it was here that she pretty much lived an idyllic childhood with her younger siblings. And, you know, of course, the repressive penal laws that were in place at the time meant that education for Catholics was not available in Ireland, you know, unless they were willing to attend proselytizing Church of Ireland schools. But Irish Catholics were forbidden from traveling to the continent to be educated. But despite this, Honora's family had her educated in France. And afterwards, she went to Paris to live with her relations. And then a series of life-changing events did inspire her to devote her life to the service of the poor. On her way home from a ball in Paris, she saw paupers mustering around a church door in search of alms. And when her father died and she and her sister Anne returned to Dublin to be with her mother, she began visiting poor families with Anne, who died suddenly, quickly following her mother, sadly enough. But she did decide that she would devote her life to helping the poor. And at first she thought this might be achieved by entering a religious order. And she traveled to Paris and joined a convent. But she found that her life of religious enclosure allowed her little access to the needy. And that's where her heart was. And
wow,
she felt that her vocation was to offer poor Catholic children the chance to have better lives and engage in their religion through education. That's where her heart was, and she made up her mind to leave the convent and return to Ireland to live with her brother Joseph and his wife Frances. You know, under penal law, operating a Catholic school could result in 3 months imprisonment.
Wow.
She would have to do her work on the sly, in secret, so to speak. And she began opening a school for young girls next to a site, Nagel Place, in the early 1750s. This was a girls' school. It was focused on reading, writing, and catechism. Needlework, actually, was another skill that they learned. In 10 years, demand for this education was such that she was operating 7 schools across the city of
wow,
Cork, teaching both boys and girls. So, you know, the story continues. She moves to Bath. She took a small cottage on Cove Street, and by day she visited each of these schools, and then by night she visited the poor.
Wow.
So this was her rotation. This was her life, caring for the poor and continuing to promote education amongst these
which
people.
Is interesting, because unlike many religious orders, you know, they're not observing this traditional enclosure, allowing them to work directly with communities and extend their reach among the poor.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful quote, you know, her motto, not words, but deeds, you know, just listening to her life, serving everywhere and anywhere she could be.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. It takes a while sometimes to find where we're needed. in the mix. You know, she had a couple of changes along the way, but her heart always came back to care for the homeless and for education. That's what her heart was.
And here's another quote about suffering, because, you know, we all encounter suffering and we take it one way or another. So her quote is, "The best works meet with the greatest crosses in the beginning. We must expect to suffer." So again, suffering is not necessarily a bad thing.
No. No, it's part of the Catholic formula, right?
I mean, it's kind of, I guess it's definitely a prerequisite to being a saint, but would it be nice if it was just a yellow brick road?
That would be nice.
Clicking my red ruby slippers.
Yeah.
You have red ruby slippers?
No. Okay.
Yeah, you know, even the saints that on the surface appeared to have a great life. We talked about Margaret of Scotland yesterday, right? Queen, well, she still, you know, she gave all that up. It was almost a voluntary move towards fasting and poverty so that she could live by example. Mm-hmm. So even the saints who achieved royalty, and there were quite a few. We've talked about them on this show, and Louis the Ninth and King Henry, Elizabeth of Hungary, and, of course, just recently Margaret of Scotland. They chose their cross instead. That's the path to sainthood.
It's really great because the Presentation Sisters serve now globally, continuing her mission to provide education and support to those in need and carrying her vision of compassion and service. So what an exemplary life of courage and obedience to our Lord and the promptings of Our Lady, or at least the example of Our Lady, especially in reference to the marginalized communities. I just hope that we can be so blessed to follow in those footsteps and leave an enduring legacy when we are on the other side of eternity.
Venerable Honora Nagel.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
And Dave.
No, and on a serious note here, I just want to bring this up because Jose Ibarra was sentenced yesterday to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He was found guilty of murdering Lake and Riley, a nursing student at the University of Georgia, while she was out for a morning run in February. Mm-hmm. And I heard the mother on the news talking in the courtroom, and I prayed for her because I don't know where her heart is, where her head is right now, but I just pray that she can forgive because that's a lot to carry around.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about myself, like what if something like that happened to one of my kids? I pray that I would be able to forgive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that society or secular society would say you have every right to never forgive and to hold on to that resentment as long as you live.
But that's not healthy.
But like we say, that it's been shared. I've heard it's like swallowing poison and expecting the other person to die, right? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I'm not saying I could never conceptualize that amount of grief. But one thing that does inspire me is St. Maria Goretti, a woman who was born in 1890 in Italy. She was attacked by her neighbor, a 20-year-old gentleman named Alessandro Serinelli. Mm-hmm. He attempted to rape her. When she resisted, he stabbed her 14 times.
Yeah.
And before she died, Maria forgave her attacker, saying, "I forgive Alessandro, and I want him to be with me in heaven."
Wow.
So she passes away in 1902 after receiving the sacrament, in July 6th, shortly after, you know, and receives the sacraments. Her attacker goes to jail and experiences this profound conversion in prison after Maria appears to him in a dream, handing him lilies that burned his hands.
Wow.
Here's where it gets unbelievable, as if that's not enough. Maria's mother, Assunta Goretti, forgave Alessandro after his release from prison and referred to him as her son. Wow. When they attended Mass together. And at his daughter, Maria, her daughter, Maria, was canonized by Pope Pius VII, June 24th, 1950, and Assunta was present, making her the first mother to witness her child's canonization. I mean, it just shows with God, nothing is impossible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I do pray that the mother of Lake and Riley can, and the parent, everybody, her whole family
friends,
can find it
everybody.
In their hearts to forgive.
And importantly, I'll just say, just on that note, it's not a justification for what it's done. It's just to help liberate that other person, you know, so they can experience that freedom in Christ and not carry that heavy weight like you so beautifully shared.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are so happy to have Cherry Tearsmith with us. We are talking about this wonderful, wonderful, you know, way that we can give back called Wreaths Across America. Welcome, Cherry.
Thank you, Allison. I appreciate the opportunity to be in here and to speak about wreaths.
No, I love that. And I'm a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel, and I know our Trail Life Boys, you know, are promoting this as well. So I'm like, I wonder how many people out there are not familiar with it. So for the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with Wreaths Across America, could you tell us a little bit about the history of the organization?
Sure. A Maine businessman, Morrill Worchester, essentially in 1992, donated 5,000 wreaths to help decorate headstones at Arlington National Cemetery. And for the next 15 years, he continued to do that. In 2007, with now the country at war in Afghanistan and Iraq and a whole new generation of men and women going into the military, he was thinking of a way to, how do I expand and grow this program? Because the needs are increasing.
Yeah.
And Wreaths Across America formed a 501c3 organization. So from that beginning to now, the original 5,000 wreaths, in this year, over 4 million wreaths will be delivered to over 4,700 different locations. There'll be about 3 million volunteers you know, helping to bring wreaths to these locations. And all of this happens on December 14th this year. Which is National Wreaths Across America Day. So that's basically a general history of, you know, where we are and what we do. The mission of Wreaths Across America, and we can go into this, is threefold. It's to remember, to honor, and to teach. And placing the wreaths, when a wreath is placed at a headstone, before it's placed, the headstone is read, the person placing a wreath recites the name and the history of that individual. It says a small prayer or short prayer, places the wreath, steps back, renders a salute.
Okay?
And that's done for each of the thousands and thousands of headstones. In Georgia alone, there are 172 locations where wreaths are placed. We have two national cemeteries, Marietta and Canton, two state veteran cemeteries, and then other locations like Roswell Historical Cemetery, Andersonville, the infamous Confederate prisoner where there's over 30,000 Union soldiers buried. So these are the types of locations. Locally, we also support wreaths placed at the Johns Creek Veterans Memorial in Newtown Park.
Nice. So how did you get involved with them and why did you?
Very simply, St. Jude the Apostle Assembly began in the summer of 2020. It was middle of COVID. We had a small group. We only had about 20, 25 members. We were looking for things that we could do to promote the patriotic mission of the Fourth Degree. And so I canvassed our members as to, you know, things that we can do. And one of our members, Charlie Casey, who also happens to be a big supporter of this station, suggested Wreaths Across America. We had some funds that we received when we first started as donations. Some members kicked in a little bit more money, and we used $1,300 and purchased essentially roughly 129 wreaths to be placed at Canton. The following year, we wanted to build on that. We became a sponsor organization through Wreaths Across America, and we basically raised about $11,000. That year. This is now our fifth season with Wreaths Across America. In 2022, We finished placing reefs at Canton and visited the memorial at Johns Creek and partnered with the Johns Creek Veterans Association to do something at the Veterans Memorial Park there. And over the past 2 years, we've raised over $30,000
wow.
each year through Reefs Across America in placing roughly a little over 2,000 reefs, both at Johns Creek and in Canton. So that's kind of where we are now. And one of the other things that we've done with that, 2 years ago, we transitioned from a 3-for-2 program where if you bought two reefs, we actually got three
mm-hmm.
To maximize the number of reefs we had. And then we've gone to what the Reefs Across America discussed is a do good twice option. We get a $5 rebate on each reef, and those monies are collected, and we essentially donate that to organizations that are helping
oh, wow.
veterans
nice.
in need. So we've contributed to St. Vincent de Paul, where mm-hmm. they've had veterans who had extreme needs
yeah.
Help relieve that. We've donated money back to the Johns Creek Veterans Association, their Veterans Assistance Program, to another local veterans group called Vet Buds that helps provide for homeless and providing donated vehicles to veteran families in need. So these are the kinds of things that we do and how those resources are used.
Oh, that's so nice.
Wow. So I have just to deviate a little bit. What have you seen this do to the spirit of the participants and those who perhaps step foot on these cemeteries when they see just this beautiful spectacle, which I think would hopefully signify the thumbprints of God and his altruism and care for those relatives of the deceased, as well as those who have passed into his arms.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things, we don't often encounter the relatives.
Yeah.
And one of I know at Canton, they try to, for those families who have a family member buried there,
mm-hmm.
they try to have a separate day for them to actually place reefs.
Oh, okay.
So they're not caught up. But on National Reef Day last year, they had almost 18,000
wow.
people volunteer to place
wow.
reefs at Canton.
I love that.
It's chaotic, you know, but you know, you're sitting down, you're seeing youngsters.
Yes.
I mean, this is you know, Girl Scout troops, Brownie troops, you know, Cub Scouts, you know, whatever.
Trail life, yeah, all of them.
Trail life, and so all these groups coming together, and this moment of patriotic fervor mm-hmm. and trying to honor.
Mm.
So this is. Yeah, so he said, like I said, remember, honor, and teach. So the reefs really help us remember, you know, the other things that we do, you know, to honor those who serve and to teach then future generations.
Yes.
So that kind of gives you the spectrum and feel of what. And I know that, you know, the last 2 years I've been kind of handling the ceremonies at Johns Creek.
Yeah.
I'm not involved with that currently. But, you know, we grew that just from a handful of about 35 people participating the first year to over 300
wow.
engaging wow. the community, you know, including members of, you know, St. Bridget. We had the Night Riders group come down.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a great patriotic fervor,
yes.
you know, in those people who are participating.
Wow. What a gift. And how can people support or find out more?
Well, most parishes have some group, mm-hmm. as Allison was mentioning, that is involved with Reefs Across America. You know, obviously, we're doing it through our Knights of Columbus effort. First I would seek out what's going on in your parish, okay? Help support that effort. If your parish doesn't have that and you want to, you know, you would like to just participate, right now, all of our reefs over the next 2 weeks we'll be collecting monies for. You could simply, search Reefs Across America and then type in GA0353P, again, mm-hmm. GA0353P, and that will bring you to our homepage. We have a unique website, and you can donate and volunteer from that website.
Mm, thank you so much. What a gift. Well, check it out, Reefs Across America, and thank you so much for just this gift you're giving to the community.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's an honor.
Awesome. Now, coming up, Allison, we got some good shows on the docket today.
We sure do. Coming up after our show, Teresa Tomeo, she is going to have Dr. Monica Miller discussing her book, In the Beginning. It takes readers all the way back to creation's very first days, the first three chapters of Genesis, and shows how this ancient wisdom can combat the modern day rejection of God's created order. So that sounds really interesting.
And I want to mention something that coming up on December 3rd is Giving Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But ahead of that, in fact, right now, you can go to igivecatholic.com, do a search for Quest Atlanta, and we're trying to get a new studio. We got this new show here, the morning show. We've got all these other local shows, and we're all fighting over one studio. Yeah. So we need another studio that we can record good quality programming in. So go to igivecatholic.org, search Quest Atlanta.
Or if you just see me at church, give me some cash. I'll take care of it.
And then you'll go to confession right after, right?
No, I know Josh is, he's innocent. He will bring it back to the station.
Well, we are so grateful for you all. We love you. And let's close in the best way possible. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day.